In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first text is Psalm 139, 7 to 10. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. And Psalm 57, 1. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Have you ever felt like running? Running away from it all. Running to escape some of the pressures in your life. Running to try to find some meaning and purpose in your life. That leads to my theme today. Although we at times are tempted to run away from our responsibilities or even from God, He calls us to run to Him and the refuge of His protective wings. You know, the scriptures are filled with examples of people who tried to run away from God. Take the very first instance of a runaway in the Old Testament. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, this is a vivid and true picture of what man, from the beginning of time, has been trying to do. He has attempted to run away from God. He has made himself, his will, his interests, his desires, central and final. And in its essence, this is what the original sin is, deification of self, with, as its inevitable consequence, a turning away from God in disobedience and rebellion. The trend is as old as the world itself. It can be seen in every age and every land. Take the case of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. It was the Genesis story all over again. Like Adam and Eve, Jonah made himself, his inclinations, central and final. Or take Augustine. As told in his Confessions, it's a most moving story. The story of a man running away from God, using every trick in the book to put distance between himself and God. He turned to passion, then from passion to rhetoric, then from rhetoric to philosophy, then from philosophy back to passion again. And finally, with every escape route cut off, he surrendered to what he had so long feared and gave to the world, out of his own experience, that unforgettable saying, Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. Or take the case of Francis Thompson. Many are familiar with his poem, The Hound of Heaven, but don't know it was a transcript of his own personal religious experience. For years he strove hard to escape from God. He turned for security to nature, to the society of his friends, to love, but all in vain. I fled him, he wrote, down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. And in the mist of tears, I hid from him, and under running laughter, from those strong feet that followed after. I'll never forget the cherry blonde graduate student in chemistry who wandered into our student chapel in Berkeley one day and said, I'm an atheist, argue with me. To which one of our students replied, Oh, we don't argue with anybody around here. Come on in. She did. She stayed for 3 years, even sang in the chapel choir, never became a Christian. But before she left, she said, You know, Pastor Don, the hound of heaven may get me yet. She could not accept Christ, but she could feel the warm, loving breath of Almighty God on the back of her neck, brooding over her, loving her, wooing her, saying in effect, "Angry young woman, I love you." And it was in that same spirit the psalmist wrote the words of our text. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. But we've been talking about other people so far. How about you? May I ask the question, dare I ask the question, even of the faithful, even of a seminary student or professor, are you running away from God, or are you running to Him and with Him? Now, you may not be a runner. I know professors scare and just run. A few years ago in midwinter, about 10 above zero, they were leaving Jerome Hall in their shorts, prepared for a good run. It's not my cup of tea. And I still tell runner Dean Wenthe, I've never yet seen a jogger smile. But if you don't run at times, that is, away from God, do you ever try to hide from Him and right here on a seminary campus? You know, you can do it very easily. Remember the Homiletics 1 student who turned in his first sermon late and made the excuse to me, I just didn't have the time to do this. I had too many other things to do. And he did them, secreted away in a carrel in the basement of the library, the things he wanted to do while neglecting his regular class assignments. You can hide from your responsibilities by browsing in the same bookstore, sorry, Candy, or Commons when you should be studying. You can hide in your car in the parking lot when you are called to be fulfilling other tasks or relating to your fellow students. You can hide on the golf course, or you can hide in your books at home when you should be in the kitchen or in bed. Yes, with your wife. Yes, such alienation happens. Ministry first, marriage second. That's the unadmitted priority in the false self-justification of studying, and it often has tragic results. These are some of the ways that we can run away from God or hide from Him, and our responsibilities to Him, our teachers, our classmates, our family. And for that, we need to repent, to change, to turn around, go in a different direction. As the psalmist says, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. Now, there's a good way to hide, in the shadow of His wings. And when we hide there and receive the forgiveness we need through the shed blood of His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, then we are hiding in the right way. But not for long. He sends us out from under His wings to fulfill our obligations here on the campus and the loving service to others that He wants us to do. I witnessed a striking illustration of this summer at my home in California. A pair of mourning doves settled into a hanging flower pot right beside our back screen door. 4 times in 3 months, they nurtured 2 little white eggs. And 4 times, I saw them protect the fragile baby birds under the shadow of their wings. I called the parents Melville and Mabel. But then came the day to fly. The father and the mother had left the nest for some time now and called to the 2 little birds to come to them. One did. It teetered on the edge of the flower pot, preened itself, tottered, paused, preened itself again, and then poised, flapped its wings and flew straight and true, 12 feet high, for about 60 feet, landing safely in our rose garden. For the other bird, it wasn't so simple. It hesitated again and again. Finally, a parent bird flew just short of the nest, but banked quickly upon approaching it, and then flew just as quickly back to the rose garden as if to say, This is the way to do it, Merton. Move out, fly. And finally, it did. And you and I find refuge and safety and healing under the shadow of the Almighty's wings. But then he calls us out with tasks to perform in his kingdom. And so there are many ways we can run away from God or hide from him and our God-given tasks. But none of our ways to hide is of avail. You need stout defenses against the devil. You need stouter against God. You may crowd your wall with sentries, but there is one invasion you are powerless to withstand. This is the universal experience. God is inescapable. Sooner or later in life or in death, we must come face to face with him. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Yes, the beauty, the wonder of it all is this, that when you and I stop running away from God and really let him declare himself to us, we find he isn't the kind of a God we thought he was at all. Once we confess, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Once we confess the selfishness of wanting to run our own self-centered life and stop long enough to look at that cross and see it was your and my sins that nailed him to the tree. It was our sins for which he died and rose again. Then we can see that the God from whom we in our folly tried to run away from is not our vindictive judge, but a loving, forgiving Father. Yes, the reasons God follows you down the nights and down the days and down the arches of the years and down the labyrinthine ways of your mind and in the mist of tears and under running laughter, the reason he longs to rescue you from yourself, he wants to rescue you from your waywardness and your wandering and bring you home. And so if you've been running away from God like Adam and Eve, Jonah, Augustine, Francis Thompson, like the cherry blonde graduate student in chemistry, if you've been running away from God in an unbalanced love for the things of this life, in dishonest doubts, in just going through the motions of being a seminary student, then listen to the loving and concerned call of your Savior today, as he again says to you, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." As Christ knocks at the door of your heart again this morning, will you say, "Well, hello, Lord. Won't you please come right on in?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.